As you heard read just now, we will be in Ephesians chapter 2, the very end of that short little book. Ephesians chapter 2. And I want us to just sit for a second with a couple of those words in the first verse that we just heard read, verse 19. You are no longer strangers and aliens. How many of you have felt at some point in your life, recently or in your distant past, like a stranger or an alien? Anybody? Oh, wow, yeah. I thought that might be the case. Many of us. You are no longer strangers and aliens. That little promise right there speaks to an ache that is common to the human condition. No matter who you are or where you come from, at some point in your life, either you already have or you will feel alone, isolated, out of place. Sociologists are telling us we are currently in the loneliest generation we've ever experienced. Which is ironic because we're also in the most technologically connected generation we have ever experienced. But there's so much loneliness out there. People are starving for community. And there are a lot of options out there for community, aren't there? The problem is there are many counterfeit communities available to you. Counterfeit communities. Communities that offer you an answer to your loneliness, but once you get into them, you realize they're toxic, they're dangerous, they're not out for you, they're actually meant to prey on you. What are some examples out there of counterfeit communities? Any come to mind? Taverns provide a counterfeit community? Yeah, yeah. Politics, absolutely, a counterfeit community. You can find everything your heart's longing for with our political party if you just agree with everything we have to say. What else?
Football.
Actually, yes, sports in general provide a counterfeit, shallow form of community. And there are people who believe I'm with my team, do or die, all the way to the end, and that is my community. And the problem is, it doesn't provide everything that they were created for. How about here in our neighborhood? Any counterfeit forms of community in this neighborhood? Those of you that grew up in this neighborhood. Gangs? Absolutely. Gangs offer a counterfeit form of community, and it can be very compelling, especially if you come from a broken home and you have some older men claiming that they will look out for you, they will protect you, they will give you power and prestige and privilege and money. That can be very compelling. Purpose. I put together a short list of counterfeit communities here. Gangs, ideological movements, political parties, cults, terrorist cells, conspiracy networks, codependent toxic relationships. How about that one? That's a counterfeit community. I see a lot of heads nodding. Some of us have experienced a codependent toxic relationship. High control work cultures. This can be a counterfeit form of community. As long as you'll show up and you'll work hard and you'll never let the hustle die, you can find a place here and we'll give you everything you need. Everything your heart is longing for. Activist movements. Here's what these things all have in common. First, they offer a sense of belonging. There are five things that counterfeit communities come to offer you that are masquerading. And all five of these things are things that you are hardwired to desire and long for. First, belonging. You are one of us. You're known and accepted. There are clear boundaries often provided between us and them, whether you're a Broncos fan or you're in the Crips or anything in between. Clear boundaries dividing us and them, or you're a Republican or a Democrat. Sense of inclusion for the unseen. You feel like nobody understands you. Nobody gets you. We get you. Come on in. The promise is you will never be alone again. And that sounds like a good promise because none of us wants to be alone. We were actually created not to be alone. You'll never be alone again. But the shadow of counterfeit community is it is love that is based on conformity. We will love you as long as you conform. And the minute you step out of love, out of line, you are out of love. Next, identity. We will provide you an answer to the question that plagues your soul, who am I? We'll tell you exactly who you are. Members gain name, role, or status. Identity replaces insecurity. Are you feeling insecure? We can take that away from you. We can make you secure. We can give you an identity. You're one of us now. You'll finally know yourself is the promise. But the shadow of counterfeit community is what is given, identity, can easily be stripped away from you. Step out of line and you've lost your identity. And there are kids all over this neighborhood who have lost their identity. And there are people all over the political spectrum who have lost their identity. There are people in work environments who came believing that if they just give their all, they'll find identity. And eventually they fail because we will all fail. And now they've lost everything, including the identity that was offered to them. Next. Purpose. We have a mission. This is something we're all longing for. We want to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, a transcendent sense of calling. We have a mission for you. It's a story of significance. There's struggle, there's enemy, there's destiny. The stakes are high. Makes ordinary life meaningful, turns despair into action. The promise is your life will finally matter. How many of us want our lives to count? Yeah, all of us do, right? Your life will matter, but the shadow side of a counterfeit community is it will often justify harm, hate, or violence to get these things. Structure. We will tell you what to do. On the surface, this doesn't seem like something that we want, especially as American individualists. We don't really want to be told what to do. But if you reframe that question into, how do I do life? How do I do this thing? We'll tell you. We'll tell you exactly how to live out your life, how to find purpose, how to find meaning. There are rules, hierarchy, and rituals which will create a sense of safety. Members no longer have to wrestle with uncertainty. Routine and obedience mimic stability and discipline. Just come in, do what we tell you to do. Everything will be fine. The promise is you'll never feel lost. Again, the shadow is the structure often becomes a cage. There's no freedom and there's no way out. And in many cases, you end up enslaved to this counterfeit form of community. Lastly, recognition. You matter here. How many of us want to matter? We all want to matter. I want to matter. You matter here. As long as you conform, you can matter. This fulfills the human desire for esteem, rank, loyalty, sacrifice, give members a sense of importance. There are status markers, whether that's titles, gangs, it's colors, uniforms, whatever it is, that validate your existence. The promise is you're valuable. You have worth. The shadow side of a counterfeit community when it comes to recognition is it is a performance-based worth. It is not an intrinsic value. You are valued for what you do, what you can get done in a day, what you produce. And the minute you stop producing, you lose value. These counterfeit communities are all over the place across our social landscape. Belonging, you're one of us. Identity, this is who you are. Purpose, we have a mission. Structure will tell you what to do. Recognition, you matter here. This sermon series started with a question. As we were planning the rest of the sermon series throughout the end of the year, we were looking at what we had scheduled for this season. Coming out of the Sermon on the Mount, we actually had a series scheduled for the topic of reconstruction. Many people in the church, especially in my generation, Gen Xers, I've kind of bridged Gen X and millennials, Many people in those two generations have deconstructed their faith. We thought we wanted to do a series on reconstruction, but as we came through the Sermon on the Mount, we found ourselves asking this question: what would it be like to be part of a community made up of people who actually believed the Sermon on the Mount? And fortunately, we weren't asking that with wishful thinking because we're in a church that doesn't believe the Sermon on the Mount. That's not where we were at. But I think the average person out there longs for exactly that sort of community. I mean, just imagine what it would be like to be a part of a community that loved their enemies. What would it be like to be part of a community where the poor were honored and lifted up and esteemed and cared for? What would it be like to be in a community where there was love and acceptance? What would that be like? Well, then at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus lays out exactly what that would be like in his sermon. And then he says, build your life on these ideas that I've just given you. Build your life on this rock, and your life will stand the test of time. The alternative is to build it on sand, and when the storms come, you'll be wiped out. If you will build your life on the things that I've commanded, Jesus says, you will survive. And what Jesus is actually offering there and throughout the rest of his teaching is covenant community, a different form, not counterfeit community, covenant community, where we will find the answers to these longings that we all have. If we will build our lives on his rock, we will find it. The rest of the New Testament actually unpacks that promise and invites us into a new kingdom, a new city, new citizenship, a new family of God, a new covenant community. And Paul in Ephesians, in this chapter, in this little section, but actually in the entire chapter, is talking about entering into the community that you were created for. You and I were actually created to belong. We were created for belonging. And we belong here in this community that Jesus died to create. So let's look at it. Yes. Ephesians 19, we're going to move relatively quickly. I mean, Ephesians 2, verse 19, relatively quickly. The first thing I want to look at is belonging. We are members of the household of God. Look with me here. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. This is intentionally familial language. Your belonging is not based on something you've done. You don't have to prove yourself. This is not something that you need to earn. You already belong, not because you've proven yourself, but because you have been adopted. Your adoption into the family of God through Jesus Christ is what makes you belong here. My children don't wake up every morning wondering, how am I going to earn my place in this family? I kind of wish they would ask that question a little bit. They don't wonder, how am I going to prove that I belong here? They don't have to. They're my kids. Our children aren't wondering about that. They know that they belong. And when you're in the family of God, Paul says, you're no longer a stranger. You're no longer alien. You're a son and a daughter. You belong, and it can't be taken away from you. True belonging, grounded in love, not conformity. You don't belong because you do everything right. You belong in spite of the fact that you often don't do everything right. You belong because you've been adopted by your Heavenly Father. Next. Also in verse 19, you have an identity, fellow citizens. You're no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints. We live in a nation right now that is weaponizing citizenship, in my opinion, and dangling it out there only for those that we want, and those that we don't want, and those that we don't think will help our political cause or make us more powerful, we don't offer it to them. This is not the way that the kingdom of God works. Citizenship is not dangled in front of you, and if you meet the criteria, you get to become a part of it. Citizenship is freely extended and offered to you in Christ. And if you will come into Christ, regardless of your nationality, regardless of the language that you speak, regardless of the color of your skin, regardless of your family background, regardless of any of that, you have citizenship. And this is not a citizenship that can be taken away from you. It is a citizenship that will endure throughout your life and throughout eternity. This is the most valuable passport you could have. This citizenship carries all the way beyond the grave. Eternal life. Your citizenship is eternal. The counterfeit says, this is who we say you are. Christ says, your identity is rooted in your citizenship in God's kingdom, not in your tribe or status. It's your place within the people of God. You have a country. You have a country. Next, structure. We are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. Look at your Bibles, because it's there. This is not just coming out of my head. This is here. This is written for you. Verse 20. We are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. I am so encouraged by the things that I'm hearing about Gen Z right now. Gen Z has had meaning in their lives stripped away from them through no fault of their own. They've entered into life, and they've been told by my generation, we can't tell you anything about your meaning. You got to find out your own meaning. You're on your own. That's the extent of our helpful advice. You're welcome. Directly from Gen X and even the millennials. There's no meaning. We can't tell you what you mean here. We can't tell you what life means. It's subjective, and it's really up to you. And Gen Z is starting to realize that is bankrupt. And they're actually aching for meaning. And now Gen Z is actually coming back to the church. After Gen X and millennials have started leaving the church, Gen Z is on the rise in the church. They're coming back to the church because they're looking for meaning. This is your meaning. We can offer meaning. And it's not something that I'm giving or taking away. It is yours. We have meaning. We have structure. I have several different friends that have traveled in Europe recently. We've got some old houses here in Denver. Like, there are houses that were built 100 years ago, and they're old, and they've got issues. But you go to Europe, you go to Barcelona or Scotland. Henry said, there are sheds that are 600 years old, and they're still doing their job. We have tough sheds that might make it 6 years. You want to see ancient structures, go to Europe. The oldest thing we've got here for our homes here in Denver is like maybe 120 years, maybe. Actually, it might be a little older now that we're in 2025. This structure that we're offering you is going to last. You know how we know that? Because it has lasted. The structure that we're inviting you into is not a structure built with hands. This is a structure built on the cornerstone himself, Jesus Christ. And this building was started long before you were even born. Long before any of our ancestors were even born. Scriptures tell us that God was calling us out before the world began. He began calling us out so that we might be here and be part of this eternal, lasting structure. The counterfeit tells you, we'll tell you what to do. It is control masquerading as order. Christ says, this is a structure grounded in truth and love. I am, Jesus Christ would say, I myself am the standard. This is not authoritarian hierarchy, but a spiritual architecture where each person fits rightly, held together by the Spirit of God. You belong here. You belong here. Paul is using a metaphor here of stones, and he's calling us living stones, and he's not the only writer of the New Testament that does this. Peter says the same thing. You are living stones. That means you're like one of these bricks. And in this structure, you find your place, you fit, you belong. This brick is fake. It's a facade. But if you can imagine that I'm touching a real brick, you belong in something. You belong. You fit. You belong in the church. The church of Jesus Christ is the structure you were created for. And actually, it's not just you that needs this. You do need a place. Otherwise, you're just a brick laying in a field. You need a place, but we need you in your place. What happens when we start pulling bricks out of walls in a building? I can tell you what happens. It will fall over. That's why none of our buildings are lasting in this country beyond 200 years, and the buildings over in Europe are lasting for thousands of years. We need you. We need you in your place. You are wanted here, and you matter here. Lastly, if I can advance it. Purpose. It's not almost lastly. Being joined together, growing into a holy temple. That's Ephesians 2, verse 21. In whom? In Jesus Christ, this whole structure is being joined together, growing into a holy temple in the Lord. This is our purpose. Our purpose is that we are being built into an eternal, living, breathing cathedral for the Spirit of God to dwell. The Spirit of God is dwelling in your midst. This is not mere bricks and mortar. We are living stones, a place for the Spirit of God to dwell. Right now, right now. He's dwelling in our midst right now. Just like the structure itself, that is a purpose that will last throughout your lifetime and beyond. That is your eternal purpose. You were created to be the dwelling place for your Creator, to dwell with Him and to know Him. The counterfeit says our mission is defined by fear, domination, or ego. Christ says the church's purpose is to becoming a living temple where God's presence dwells. It's not about fighting our enemies, but hosting the Spirit of God. Can you imagine if we walked around daily realizing our purpose together is to host the Spirit of God? And what might a people of God hosting the Spirit of God do in a community that God loves? There's some power there, right? That's a purpose I want to be a part of. We'll bring peace, healing, truth, and reconciliation to the world. Our true purpose is to embody and extend the love of God together. And that's because none of us is able to contain the Spirit of God on our own. This is not just about you and your personal Savior. Though Jesus died for you personally and loves you personally, you're called into something bigger than yourself. You're called to be a part of a people that He died for. Lastly, recognition. The last verse here, verse 22, in Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. We have spent some time already talking about our purpose, but this is also where our recognition comes from, our dignity, our worth comes from. The counterfeit will tell you, you matter as long as you perform. But we will tell you, you matter because of who lives here. You matter because you are created in the image of God as a living stone for the temple in which He chooses to dwell. You have eternal worth regardless of your performance. This is not linked to how well you perform. This house will stand because God is building it and God is holding it together and God indwells this structure. Every person, every stone has value because they form part of the temple where God dwells. The worth of the believer isn't conditional, it's inherent because God himself chooses to dwell within us. True recognition means that dignity comes from God's presence and not human approval. If God himself, if your creator approves of you right now, fully and completely, period, he approves of you, who else's approval do you need? What other recognition do you need? What do you need to do to go through? How many trails have you gone down trying to earn inferior approval? And where has it gotten you? I can tell you where it's gotten me. Pain, anger, discontent, anxiety, depression. You don't need anybody else's approval. You have the approval of your Creator in heaven. And it was purchased for you. It's been paid in full by Jesus himself. God approves of you. Anybody want that community? Here's what we have. Belonging. We are members of the household of God. Identity. We're fellow citizens with the saints. Structure. We are built on Jesus Christ, our cornerstone. Purpose. We together are growing into the temple of God himself. And recognition. He dwells here. He loves us. He approves of us. We're his. We're his. How many of you are, if you're a leader or an alumni of Cross Purpose, could you stand? Leader, current leader or alumni of Cross Purpose, go ahead and stand. Yes, go ahead and give them a hand. Did you notice all of the cheering that happened for you when you were being introduced this morning? That's because here, you are VIPs in this room. You may not know this, you can be seated. You may not know this. In fact, you probably don't know this. But God used the people. God worked through the hearts of the people in this room to start Cross Purpose so that God could direct your steps here to this room this morning. That's why we cheer every time Cross Purpose is in the room, because this is what we're giving our lives to. We want you here. You belong here. We've got a wall for you. A structure for you. And the beauty is, this is not just about this church. Some of you might have already found a church, another structure that you're a part of, and we're thrilled for that. But if you find yourself this morning as a brick in a field, and you know you were created to fit somewhere, and you don't know where that is, we would love to show you where you can fit here. We want you here. If you were not born in this country, could you stand? If you were not born in the United States, could you stand? We are cheering for you because we want you here. You can be seated. God worked long before Denver existed and long before Providence existed. God worked and orchestrated things and events and people and rearranged people's lives to come here and start working together to plant a church where you could find a home. God did that because he wants you here. And if the God of the universe wants you here, you better believe we want you here. That's why we cheer for you. That's why you're wanted here. We love you because he loved us. And he loves you. You are valued because you're his. You're his. This morning, we get to celebrate this community through baptism. This is one of our rites of entry, so to speak. This is where people are going to go under the water and come out of the water identifying with Christ as part of his eternal purpose and structure. That is beautiful. We're going to celebrate that. We're going to celebrate the work that he has done in your lives, all of you. It's beautiful. You are walking into the destiny that God created you to inherit. Hallelujah. That's amazing. That's amazing. Hunter already mentioned it. We saw another beautiful picture of this yesterday as 40 people got in that room and started learning and hearing about how to plug in to this structure, this local expression of the Church of Jesus Christ. And we're going to have people coming in and joining and being a part of this body and partnering with us. And it might change our budget. The way we spend our money might change if Spanish speakers outnumber us 10 to 1. Right? Should it? Good. I'm really glad to hear you say that. That's good. It was my favorite PBC 101, Providence 101 class that I've ever been a part of. And I'm sorry if you attended other ones. You're also my favorite. But it was amazing. It was amazing. It was so much fun. What is that? That is just a step in the process of becoming part of this thing that God has been doing since before the beginning of time, calling out his people, building himself a home. We've got opportunities for you to plug in here at Providence deeper into true community that meet every week in homes across the city called our community groups. Community groups are our best attempt at living this out day in and day out. Because the community here that Jesus is building is bigger than a Sunday service. You are not going to experience the full community that he died to purchase in 2 hours on a Sunday. You just won't. He bought more than that for you. It's good news. This is great. We love Sundays here. This is really great. But he bought more for you. He bought family, tangible, flesh and blood family for you to be a part of all throughout your week and throughout your life. And the family here at Providence have helped me in countless ways throughout my life. One of the key reasons that I've experienced victory over anxiety in my life is because of the people in this room. You have helped me deal with my internal struggles, my fear of abandonment and insecurity. I have found help through you. Community groups are an opportunity for you to enter into family, and we would encourage you, if you're not in one, get in one. Get in one. I just had a couple of guys here this morning tell me they're going to come visit mine, which I'm pumped about, and I can't wait for them. Providence, Providencia, this is your home. This is your home. Together, we are building this in Christ. And I've got really good news for you. It's not up to you and me. We aren't the ones building it. Jesus said, I will build my church. He's doing the work. It's because of Jesus that you found your way here. Not because of me. Not even because of our great social media that's happening. It's because Jesus himself is beckoning you, inviting you, welcoming you to find the place that you were created for. Now, I'm going to close by just going a little bit earlier in chapter 2, because this is good news provided. This is good news provided that this king, this God who's living among us, actually really cares about us. If he's a tyrant, it's not good news. If a tyrant wants to come to your house, that's not a very exciting moment, right? It's not good news for you. If a tyrant wants to be a part of your life, it's not good news for you. This is good news if this is a good king. Look earlier in chapter 2, just really briefly at verse 7, so I can tell you why he's doing all of this. Chapter 2, verse 7, and with this we'll close. He's doing all of this, welcoming us into his family, adopting us, giving us purpose and place, so that, verse 7, in the coming ages he might show us the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. This king is kind. He's never going to stand there with disappointment and say, perform or you're out. He's doing all of this in your life and in mine so that forever he can pour out his kindness over us. What other community is offering that? None. None. There's none like this. This is the community you were made for. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all that you have done to give us a home. Thank you for welcoming us in, not only as citizens, though that would be good enough. You have welcomed us into your family as your sons and your daughters. Help us to walk in with boldness. Help us to approach you with boldness, knowing we are your children. Father, help us to embrace all that Jesus has bought for us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.